This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Bright and early, it's just after 6 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. What's happening? Yes. Good morning. I hope your day's off to an awesome start, that no one has pissed you off yet. That can happen sometimes. You know, you start your day and then someone's pissed you off already. You just start your day pissed off. It's never a good thing.
In the first 2 seconds of the day?
That can happen. You could get a call from someone and they go, you know, we've just had a massive fraud on your account and everything's gone. Everything. It's all gone. It's gone. That could ruin your day.
Hardy does could ruin your day already.
Okay. If there's shit on your car as you drive out, bam, can't see through the screen.
How do Hardy does? This is entirely aside from where we wanted to go, but
sure.
They seem to produce enormous amounts of shit.
Oh. Relative to the size of them, they're probably about as productive at shit output as pigeons. I mean, if you made a pigeon the size of a staffy and let it fly over your car, it would also drop something round about the size of a golf ball.
That's a fair point. But these Hardy does need more fiber, though, because when they let go, it's just malicious and it's smearing and horrible.
Well, they
are instantly feeling nauseous.
That's the stain thing.
Dude, yeah, can
badly.
Eat away at your car's thing. I'd like bird shit on top of my car once that I left for a while. I went and washed off and left like birthmarks. But they have cloacas, so birds are shitting and pissing on your car at the same time.
I forgot they had cloacas.
That's why it looks... Hardy dog poos look like a cat poo in white liquid.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Okay. So guys, it's a cloaca. It's like a two for one.
They egg through their cloaca as well. Imagine just having one pipe that everything happened
out of. Essentially... Mm.
That you also have sex with.
Into. Mm. Yeah.
So in Hardy dog life, they never say you need number one or number two. They just go, I need a number now.
Yeah, exactly. I need the full deal.
Exactly what it is.
Well, no, I mean, the full deal would be like... ejaculating.
Please, let's
poo.
Stop.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, maybe it is.
As far as waking up is concerned, I woke up to the sweet, beautiful sound of Sia's voice this morning.
Ah.
And then I rolled over and looked at him, and I was like, thanks for being here, Sia.
No, Gord. After talking about bird poo, please don't mention my name.
Fine.
And make it accurate. Thank you.
Okay. Imagine having a cloaca.
Oh, we're back.
Now. Yeah, okay. This is important, because yesterday...
How do you even spell that?
It was Monday.
C-L-O-A-C-A.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Latin for sewer.
No, really? Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's real.
Yeah.
Oh,
what do you
think? I made up all that bullshit about cloacas?
Good.
Yeah,
no,
it's called the common chamber and outlet into which the intestinal, urinary, and genital tracts open.
Yeah, I'm going to start making up biological fake news every time I come here. I'll be like, oh, leopards. Yeah, they've got like an ability to infrared the vaginas of other leopards, and that's how they mate. And Zia will just be like, oh, I didn't know that about leopards.
Gord, I knew about a cloaca. I didn't know that cloaca was sewer in Latin.
Because it does all the
cloaca
business.
Maxima was the big sewer in Rome that they would often just throw bodies into.
I don't know what to believe.
Imagine the clack cloaca of the Satan bird. Do you remember? Although that is technically a dinosaur, so it probably had a massive penis.
When I look at birds, because you know birds, of course, descend from dinosaurs.
Yes. And ascend into the sky.
And when I see birds in the garden, I sometimes look at them and imagine, like, their ancestors would have totally fucked us up.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, they did in Jurassic Park.
But here they are going, tweet, 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 tweet. The little flower and a bit of fruit and tweet, 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 tweet. And occasionally they make a sweet noise and you go, oh, look, it's so beautiful. Your garden's got so many sweet birds in it. Mm. If you just rewind the clock and each of those birds was allowed to become like its ancestors, just for a...
It's in the DNA. We could just make the baby be a dinosaur.
For a split second and you had velociraptors running around your garden instead of birds, you would not be going, well, oh, that's so sweet. Listen to its noise.
Yeah, what I find hysterical is that they have no idea what kind of voice boxes most dinosaurs had. I mean, they can tell kind of what sort of allocation of skeletal... opening was there, so they would imagine, okay, it must have had a bigger or a smaller voice, but they have no idea. So you might have had pterodactyls flying overhead going and then swooping down, like, or could, like, you know, a T-Rex would be like tweet.
It could be going,
it could be like the Mike Tyson.
T-Rex goes, hey, hey. Imagine if it went, hey. With his little arms and just goes, hey,
or a Mike Tyson kind of voice. This big, massive killer, and it's like, grr, skr.
And a brontosaurus would meow.
Yeah, it could hilarious. Be anything. We don't know.
So, Gordo, how have you been? What's news with you?
Oh, dude, I'm cool, eh? I'm stoked to be here. It's been a good week. Can't complain about too much. I'm sure Ben will ruin that soon. But for the meantime, it's been fine.
Wow.
How have you been, GC? How are your feelings?
Fantastic.
You look like you've been jawing your tits off. I watched your Ultra Fest pictures and stuff on Instagram.
Oh, I thought you meant I looked like that now. I was going to say, shit, I don't want to look like I've been jawing my tits off.
You've
now.
Done a wedding, it looked like, with your whip out the trusty tux.
No, what? I haven't done weddings. I did Ultra Boot.
Oh, sweet. How was it, China?
It was lekker, Boot. There were oaks in wife beaters. There were chicks in bikinis. It was great.
You look like,
ask Sia, he was there.
You look like you digged it, though.
It was so much fun. I loved it, and it's the first time I've ever been, and I would do it again.
Sia's doing a grin that looks like if he kept it up, it would start to hurt.
Can I tell you something? I'm a late starter with all the cool things. I only started drinking, like the only time I'd ever been drunk, the first time I'd ever been drunk in my whole life, I was probably 21, 22.
Outrageous.
Whoa.
Yeah. I started...
Wait, your first taste of alcohol was...
No. I had alcohol. I mean, like, my parents weren't uptight about it when I was a kid. So, you know, if there was a Christmas dinner, then they'd say, yeah, you can have some wine or whatever age I was.
Because alcohol tastes like ass. You have to teach yourself not to hate it.
Yeah, if you're a kid, you don't really gravitate towards it. You know, it's not something that you... And we never had... It was never locked away. So if any of us wanted to drink... My dad would say, yeah, go and help yourself, but understand that there's going to be a horrible headache.
Mm.
And you're probably going to be very stupid while you're drinking. And if you're drinking on your own, it's sad.
Yeah.
So we kind of learned that early on.
No, that's a good foundation.
Also, if you misbehave, the headache would be his hand against your head.
Yeah, probably. That's probably about right, knowing my dad. Headache
and a cheek ache.
Yeah, I started everything late. I started going to clubs late. I never really went to festivals until quite recently. So I'm not, you know, you're an old hand at this.
Mm. I'm old now and hate festivals when I used to love them.
I know, you used to be a massive fan though.
I remember you jawing hard, you and me, and this was like 12 years ago. We jawed lank hard at Plit Rage. But we were the oldest people at Plit Rage by 10 years. So I guess that makes sense.
It's so creepy.
We were getting paid to be there, yo, and the kids loved it.
Hey, do you know who I saw at Ultra?
So much better.
I told you I saw Fresh, but I also saw Ian F.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's my favorite of the alphabet Ians.
You know what's great about... No. He's actually looking really good. He hasn't aged at all. He was very nice. I went up and had a chat to him briefly. But it's weird when you see someone you haven't seen for easily 7 or 8 years, maybe more.
Huh? Yeah, he got a bit padded at the edges for a while. I mean,
yeah, but he's in great shape now. He's looking...
He was for a long time, and I assume still is dating quite a good friend of mine. So,
okay. And he still looks like Ray Donovan, right?
Exactly.
Talking about the same.
But younger, though. He looks quite a lot younger than Ray Donovan.
I'm a late starter on Ray Donovan. I've got into it recently, and I'm like finishing sort of season one now.
And it's like season... I saw the other day on Showmax, season six.
Oh, jeez.
I just want to address quickly, because Gord asked... If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it properly.
Amen.
Now, so...
What do you mean by
so
that?
So you MDMA'd, you...
No. What I mean is, I'll go for like 8 hours or whatever, and I'll do the whole thing. I'm not going to pussy out of it, and I'm not going to do a soft weekend. If I'm going to go large, I'm going to go properly.
But I mean, doing it properly involves six Mitsubishis.
No, dude, I didn't.
What?
I didn't. And I would tell you if I had. I mean, it's no big issue to me. I would tell you. I mean, I was talking to my sister about it on Sunday, but I was talking to her... She doesn't do any of these things. She's very chilled. She stays at home. She likes to work. She enjoys her work. I sometimes need a release. You need that pressure release. And then I'll go out and I'll behave like a...
Got to just open your cloaca and let it all
come right.
out.
Like a 22-year-old.
Social cloaca.
And I think that's important. Like, Sia was completely unhinged at Ultra. He was
I've had a mid-party phone call from Sia on a school night asking me, where are you and where's the jewel?
I've stopped doing that. Yeah.
I found it endearing. I was like, if I were 10 years younger, Sia...
Yeah, but Gareth, you make a good point. Like, we have all these social pressures to do something so early. Like, I did way too much.
Since
I was 18, I liked everything.
But you were DJ Ben K. You used to be at this pointed spear at the front of the door.
It's also because he had two older brothers.
Yeah, I was thrust into it all. And like now, I know my entire 30s, I've just been mostly jaded. Just too much. Yeah, it's can you imagine what Bieber feels?
When I met Ben, he was old already.
He's probably tired of blowjobs.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be insulting. Like Ben he doesn't look old, but he has the mentality of a 75-year-old.
Although,
you could be nice and say it's extreme maturity. Like he's extremely sensible about 99% of stuff.
Yeah, although except for being curmudgeonly about the existence of other humans, Ben was quite a lot of fun at the Sevens. We did have quite a fun day.
He
can jaw.
Look, I call a duis in life.
But you're like, that oak's a duis, this oak's a duis. Look at this oak not letting another oak go forward. Like, this guy's blocking my view of the wall.
I'm attentive.
You've lived.
Okay. You have attention. Yeah.
But properly. It was fun, though.
Say it properly.
No, he's lived. He's seen things. You've been around. You've lived.
The only way I can enjoy a ravey type of thing is if I'm performing at it or if I literally take like 4 MDMAs and then I don't remember it. Oh, I just get told by my friends it was
4
fun.
Of them. I saw guys and girls.
No, I wouldn't take
around.
4. That was hyperbole.
I saw some people walking around.
He just looked at me like, no, it's not. Depends which decade we're talking about.
These people had eyes like...
owls.
No, like the cat in
Alice in Wonderland.
No, and Puss in... what was Puss in Boots?
Antonio Banderas. Shrek. Puss in
Boots.
That's
it, Shrek. And that cat when it...
And they look like they're trying to swallow their own head. They're like trying to chew their own face and swallow it.
Struggling, man.
And that's the perk for
anyway,
you, Gord?
All right, so there's quite a lot going on. We're going to get into some news. Ben has got a couple of things to update us on. First of all, remember the dude from Ibiza? Tony Pike. Do you remember him, that hedonist?
Yeah, we featured him heavily. And
we played the video of him.
He was so cool.
He was this amazing dude who lived this incredible life. Well, he died, Tony Pike. Unfortunately, he's dead. The hotelier who epitomized hedonism died at 84.
So he outlived lots of vegans.
Well, he outlived all those people who he was supposed to have been the provider for, you know, the drug trafficker of, the enabler.
Well, I think traffic is a bit of a hard word. I mean, he was the jaw. I mean, this guy, he said he had something wrong with his cock. Blood constantly got into it, so therefore he had to fuck the whole time.
Stuff.
He had over 3,000.
Is that 000... how you deal with that problem?
That's how he dealt with it, Gord. I don't know clinically if it's the right way, but that's how he did it.
But we were all watching Bohemian Rhapsody last year, and Tony Pike was very good friends with Freddie Mercury.
He was.
He was friends with Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Kurt Cobain, Naomi Campbell, Kate Moss, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Boy George, and he had this hotel, which he ran right up to the end.
Well, it was like an old sort of abandoned Ibiza kind of farmhouse, probably shepherds that shepherd things in. And then he just kind of turned it into this place. It became like the heartbeat of the glory days of Ibiza.
That's right.
But he also, Grace Jones is one of his lovers. George Michael, he was good friends with.
He said that he and Grace Jones had the most fun ever. And she was a wild animal in bed.
Let's just for a moment try to picture what their definition of fun is. You know, it's not even swinging from the chandeliers.
Just so much sex.
Okay, so you know,
Tony
we talk
Pike
about
and Grace Jones.
We talk about Seat Ultra. I mean, multiply that by 100, and you've got an idea of what
was
Tony Pike was up to.
Or Grace Jones in the sack.
And that was just every other night.
But like this guy, he was really great friends with Julio Iglesias because he went there, and it was like these people got to go home, and then obviously Club Tropicana was filmed there, the iconic Wham music video. And when Freddie Mercury finally found out he was gay, he decided he would go to Tony Pike's hotel. Sorry. Freddie Mercury, when he found out he was HIV positive, he...
slightly different.
Slightly different, yeah. He had a massive party just to say, well, fuck it, this is me. So he kind of drowned his sorrows a bit and went there.
Well, it sounds like a good place.
It feels like a bit of a down-off theme for a party. It's like, hey guys, who's going to Freddie's HIV positive party?
Well, I don't think
at least we're positive.
I don't think he told everyone else that's why he was celebrating.
But Tony Pike himself had AIDS, which he managed to fight off, but the cancer is what got him in the end.
Well, there we go. So a little tribute. He wasn't in our death pool either. We've missed out on Keith Flint from
Prodigy.
I love the Prodigy. Did you?
Yeah, I know you diminished their bigness, but they were massive, massive in the rave scene and then massive in the commercial. So
misunderstood children and needed Prodigy in their life.
No, Prodigy's still good. Their most recent album, No Tourists, which came out at the end of last year, is fucking ridiculously cool.
Darren, who listens to us, sent me an email yesterday to admonish me for my lack of respect for Prodigy. He said, hey, Gareth. Shame. Prodigy was a lot bigger than you guys made it out to be on your show. 6 out of 7 of their albums were UK number ones.
Yep.
Thought I would share that with you. Firestarter was great, but watch the Smack My Bitch Up. I remember Smack My Bitch
Up. The video.
Up music video. Pretty crazy shit. Yeah, that was. And it was controversial long before...
Controversy was a thing.
Yeah, long before everybody was, you know, in the world of controversy. Everybody was in the business of controversy.
Yeah.
So well done to Keith Flint for a life not wasted. He died quite young, in his late 40s.
49. Yeah. Mm. Suicide vibes, man.
And we also lost out on making some Death Pool money off of another person who died this week, Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210.
There was some margin in him.
He managed to become a teen heartthrob with a receding hairline when he was like 19.
That's right. He didn't have...
Well, he had a receding hairline.
He was trying to be the James Dean of the 90s.
We had like a 5 head, you know, when it goes...
Yeah, I got one of those.
But no, yours is not on Perry levels. Yours is like Perry light. But have you heard of the Aaron Ramsey curse? This is a real thing.
What is
Whenever
it?
Aaron Ramsey scores for Arsenal, within you can Google it. There's a Wikipedia list of people who've died within 48 hours of Aaron Ramsey scoring a goal. It's like, it's everyone. I mean, I don't have a Google machine in front of me. I think Ben's on it. But when you hear the list of people who've died within 48 hours of Aaron Ramsey scoring, and he scored, and we lost Keith Flint and bloody
Luke Perry.
And now
Tony Pike.
I don't know if he was within the 48-hour Aaron Ramsey period, but like it's a...
So basically, Keith Flint was the 17th star to pass away after Aaron Ramsey scores. This is how bad his curse is.
Yeah, do you have the list there of the people?
God.
Because it's not small-name people.
Whitney Houston.
Sure.
God, I can't believe Aaron Ramsey...
Alan Rickman in 2016.
Alan Rickman. David Bowie.
I'm Alan Rickman.
So basically,
this is a thing.
So basically, they should just make him a goalkeeper, is what you're saying.
He just, look, Arsenal fans should have that celebration knowing that it's at the cost of someone's life.
This is freaky.
Okay, well, there we go. The Aaron Ramsey curse.
In 2013, after he scored for Arsenal, the same day Paul Walker died. And then also after he scored against Manchester United in 2014, Robin Williams died the following day.
Bowie died after a Ramsey.
Oh, my God. A Ramsey.
I mean, if Aaron Ramsey scores a goal, phone your loved ones and just tell them what they mean to you.
So this is a bit grim for a first thing on a Wednesday morning to talk about all these dead people.
Let's go back to cloacas.
Yeah, but Ben,
the height of the show so far.
Ben's been reading this D'Souza Murders, the story of the Henry von Breda axe murder, you know, his family axe murder escapades. And Ben made his way through the book. It took him a while because he was reading other stuff as well. But now you finally finished it, so we need a proper book review. You've got a 2-minute gap here. Go on.
Yeah, like I think I touched on it a couple of weeks ago. It's a blow-by-blow of all the court proceedings and stuff, but then the guy was so desperate to be the first book about D'Souza murders that he didn't finish the book. So the book ends with, "We'll never know what happened on that night."
Oh, no.
Only Marley and Henry will really know. And it wasn't even like... He wasn't even pronounced guilty. So the guy basically just finished the book. He's like, yeah, I finished.
He finished the book before the sentence was...
Before the sentencing. So there's the book review. The guy shot his bolt way too soon. And
that's unfortunate.
It's his choice. Do what you do in life.
It's not always your choice to shoot your bolt too soon.
That also explains why Sia couldn't get him to come on the show. He was very difficult to track down, this author. What's his name?
No, well, when we did, I think his wife had passed away.
Oh, shit, okay.
Well, Ramsey scored that weekend.
Guys, don't make it insensitive.
All right.
That was when Ramsey got the winner against Crystal Palace.
Sorry, we went back to death and I didn't mean to.
Oh, my God. All right, so back to the emails.
Yeah.
Anne Marie says, "I hope you're good. Just wanted to tell you I've been to Cliff Central on the Casper radio show." Well, who hasn't? "We had a chat about my latest book. I wish our police station could learn a lesson from your staff. Talk about easy going." Oh, that's nice. So she came here. She was welcomed. She was treated nicely. Must have been you, Sia.
Must have been me.
There's definitely... But no,
okay.
If you didn't sing, she would have written this email. If you'd sung, she would have written a rude email full of caps.
I'm quiet now.
But it's amazing. Like, you, if you walk into this place and you meet Jane, you might not have as good an experience.
It is a cool vibe here, though.
If you walk in and you meet Sia, you'll have a great experience.
God knows I don't stay because of you guys. It's the nice, welcoming vibe in the foyer. It is cool.
Well, though. Big announcement. Sia now has his own office.
OMG, where's your office?
Okay. Sia, so when I saw you sitting there this morning, you looked extra smug, and that's why.
I wasn't looking extra smug. I just looked very content.
You put the smut in smug. You're just sitting there.
Sia to redecorate his office with fabulosity.
I am looking for a gold plaque just for the door. I'm also taking gold stars, with my name on it.
You need one of those. Yeah, those.
Being a gold star gay, yes, of course.
True.
And one of those deck chair things with your name on the back of it, like your cast of a movie.
I totally think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
And if you squint, the office in regards to the position of the entire building could pass off as a corner office. Technically, it's at the corner of the corridor.
It has a corner in it.
It has a corner.
And probably more than one. I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming.
Four corners.
It has a sticky in corner rather than a sticky out corner. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Also, I mean, I don't know. I'm a bit rusty on my geometry, but I think 180 degrees is an angle, and corners are angles.
No,
there you go.
No, 180 degrees is a straight line.
But it's still a 0 degree and a 180 degree. And go with me here. I'm trying to make him enjoy his nice things.
90 degrees.
All right. Another one. This is interesting. It's a long email that someone has sent me, and I think this is probably the right show to tackle this one on.
Okay.
The testosterone conundrum. If you're a man and you want to be a woman, it's your right to do so and get rid of testosterone and introduce estrogen injections. Your body will change because of these hormones, right?
Yes.
If you're
to
a
an
woman,
extent, it will.
If you're a woman, you want to be a man, it's your right to do that. Get rid of the estrogen, introduce testosterone injections. Your entire body will change because of those hormones. But if you're a man and you go to gym and you want to become more of a man and you change your body entirely by injecting testosterone and lifting weights, you're being seen as a cheat. You're called a druggie. And even Virgin Active gyms won't let you in because they put it on notices all over the gym.
Authorities, you don't have to put your weights away, but you can't take testosterone.
Yeah, God, that irritates me. Authorities get involved, and these bodybuilders are made out to be criminals of some kind. The testosterone a transgender person injects is the same testosterone a bodybuilder would inject. Exactly the same thing to the molecular structure, but the bodybuilder is said to be using steroids, and the transgender person is said to be using testosterone therapy. I want to see the authorities arrest a transgender person at Virgin Active or put up signs saying transgenders are not welcome because they inject testosterone. The public outcry and human rights activists will have a field day. Do bodybuilders not have the same rights as transgender people? Is this confusing or is it just me? So I didn't see a picture of the person who sent this email to me, obviously, but I would imagine they're probably a machine.
They probably have a quite squarish jaw.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, okay, so certain medical substances have a medicinal use and then also have a recreational use or an abuse factor. And I'm not saying bodybuilding is that. I'm saying like methadone has a purpose in the medical spectrum, but oaks that are joiling it on the side of on the pavement and injecting it into their arm. It's like, also, how do you get caught? You've either got to take your testosterone orally or as an injection. Just don't do it at the Virgin Active. They're not there with litmus paper testing your sweat.
Well, it's interesting. There's a place up the road here that I've been speaking to a doctor there called Dr. Mark. I can't remember his surname now. Anyway, he runs the only testosterone clinic in Johannesburg, which is actually it's a kind of a testosterone therapy center where if you're a guy over, let's say, 35 years old, you can start going to him, and he checks your blood levels and checks your hormone levels and everything else and keeps you on
the right amount.
The optimal amount.
Yeah, and I mean, then it's like a supplement.
Correct. What happens to men is that their testosterone starts taper off as they get older, and then they're not as virile and as vital.
It's good for health. It's like an anti-aging thing. Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. He's an athletic guy, he's hardly a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. But it's also important to get it done medically, the right amount, the right kind, taken in the right way. And if you are on it for an extended period of time, i.e. not just like a short-term, week-long treatment to treat a specific issue, if you're on it as a lifestyle thing, and you come off it. You need mm-hmm. to taper off it and supplement other things because your body, it does affect your body's ability to produce testosterone naturally. Mm. So say your testosterone, natural testosterone production has fallen from a healthy 8 to like a 4,
yeah.
and you testosterone therapy it back to an 8 or 9, after when you stop, you're going to be below 4, like somewhere between 0
words,
and 1
if
or
you
2.
Start, you have to carry on.
Yeah, and you can taper off it, but don't like go to the gym and be like, ah, how's it, but check, you got some testosterone there, but can I draw
that? But isn't it true also with those guys who do that at the gym, that they obviously grow very quickly, but then they also become very flabby and fat and lazy later on because they suddenly stop.
Yeah, there's a lot of different steroids. You've got like Deca and all kinds of horrible shit that's way more hectic than testosterone. I mean, testosterone isn't really a steroid. It's just it makes men's general men things a bit menlier. But like,
let's just look at that sentence again.
There are.
It makes men's things more menlier.
Yes.
Okay.
You get explosive six-pack abs more quickly.
All right.
But just one point is that some steroids give you bone growth that you should have stopped with. And that's why steroid guys and ladies, not from testosterone, can often have that big jaw and it never goes away. It causes bones in your body, most notably your jaw, to grow after your genetics have told them long ago to don't grow.
Jesus.
Kulani's here. I forgot to even introduce you this morning. Kulani's kind of injected himself into the show this morning.
I just bring him with me.
You're allowed on the microphone. Go and say hello to somebody and then go and sit down.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Shout out to my cousins.
All right, thank you.
Going there to we go. 10.
All right, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. Home Affairs Department is about to review the permanent residency status of foreign pastors. You know, a lot of these guys who've been bullshitting their congregations for the longest time, and I know Gord gets annoyed with these guys like I do. Apparently, the Minister of Home Affairs, Siyabonga Qwele, remember him because his wife was the drug trafficker they caught and locked up?
Yes.
Not a particularly bright intelligence minister, if you'll forgive those ironies, but he's also not a particularly good Home Affairs minister. He seems, though, to have the idea that if we just revoked the permanent residence of some of these evil pastors who bullshit people on a daily basis and gather to themselves enormous fortunes of money, which is tax-free, that if we could just expel them, then the people who are dumb enough to go to these churches will stop. But of course, they'll just fall prey to local
evil pastors,
merchants of nonsense.
Funny comedians.
Yeah, so he's going to take a hard look at high-flying pastors who've moved to South Africa to run these lucrative ministries. So-called miracle pastors are also facing closer scrutiny from the South African Revenue Service, while the African National Congress has called for rogue religious leaders to be investigated by the CRL Commission. And I've never stood behind them so hard as I am with this. Good idea, right?
Nothing like standing behind somebody hard.
But like Jesus, we kept saying it. Jesus, just like any other vice, entertainment should be taxed like anything else.
Yeah. It's entertainment slash, I mean, like any spiritual like self-help book you pay tax on. But I would, if I was the Minister of Home Affairs, I'd pretend I didn't read it right and I'd put on these fairs and they'd be like gay themed and I'd be like, welcome to the Home Affairs.
Home Affairs.
And they'd be like, we spent like $425 million on this to fulfill our mandate and now we're all on a date with a man.
God, I'd actually want to see you run the country.
It would be but it would be hysterical.
I would just want to do it as an experiment. Give you all of the budget. I want to see you represent us in the United Nations.
I'd squander it on the people. I wouldn't squander it on myself. I'd squander it on
fabulous.
The people.
Fabulous. Go for gold.
Yeah, look, I think churches have to be taxed. That's an obvious thing that needs to start happening. And people will always say, oh, but they do a lot of charity work.
Then they can get a tax deduction for their charity.
Correct, like any private citizen would.
Yeah, if they're making $100 million and they're donating 50 of it to soupkitchenworld.org, then they can get the tax rebate on that money against the rest that they kept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're going to go after those pastors, we need to also go after people who are spreading other superstitions and making people in this country nervous about things like the afterlife. Or what happens to them at night, or whether or not there's muti under their doorstep.
Yeah, curses and shit.
You know, I mean, just yesterday I heard Babes Wodumo's father saying that, you know, Mampincha was putting muti all over the house. And, you know, if you're going to spread any kind of superstitious nonsense around that's going to make people uncomfortable or make them do strange things, or you should be fined for that. You should be fined for spreading untrue nonsense, even on the internet in terms of fake news.
Yeah, or just claiming something to be fact when you have no evidence to back it up. You go, I truly believe that, and so then you're fine.
Yeah.
I am of the firm belief that X, Y, and Z. Cool. Don't go, it's a fact that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
And also, stop calling people prophets. They're not. That word is horribly maligned. The last one, I think, was used, the last time it was used effectively was probably in the Old Testament. And ever since then, there hasn't been one. None of these people can prophesize. None of these people can tell what's going to happen in the future. And if they could, they would know when SARS was coming for them, which is today at 9:30.
So I think they're more just referring to the bottom lines as prophet, not P-R-O.
Right. Oh, bad.
So he's prophet so-and-so because of his bottom line.
And when they talk about greener pastors, they're talking about getting more money into the door.
All right.
We misunderstood Home Affairs. Greener pastures
and
profit. We're trying our best. We just can't read good.
Guys, we've just redefined three very important terms which are used too many times in this country irregularly. All right. In Cape Town, they're introducing a new demerit system for motorists, and apparently it's going to be a countrywide thing. The National Assembly have agreed to the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Amendment Bill. That's the ARTO Bill, which will now be sent to the President to be signed. Once it becomes law, there'll be big changes in how traffic offences are dealt with. Yes, you will get a card, and you will have demerits.
Mm.
Like Ben has when he's on the golf course, every time he gets a bogey, every time he gets over par, he gets basically a bad mark on his scorecard.
Ben doesn't do
that
those
affects
things.
Mm.
Of course, when you say motorists, you mean you and I, not taxis.
No,
not Blue Light Brigades.
No, law-abiding. Sorry. Yeah. Again, just to be clear, law-abiding citizens
are punished when they break the law.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Yes. We're not here to punish the criminals. We're here to punish the illegal activities of non-criminals.
Correct.
So does a demerit eventually expire? Like, obviously, if you reach a certain amount,
well,
they do something mean to you.
That's the part I'm not sure of, and we must maybe get Howard Dembowski in here. He's the guy who's the real pro when it comes to understanding this act. But once this thing kicks in, you will be given points against you if you infringe traffic laws, and you could have your license suspended or even cancelled if you continue to reoffend. Road users who don't pay traffic fines could face blocks on having new driving or vehicle licenses issued. But I think they can already do that, because I wanted to get my car license updated earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the post office and they said, no, you owe on this fine and that fine. And I had to pay those before I could get my license. So I think that's already in place.
I've got to do that kind of crap today. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm so proud of myself. I drive around with such a smug look on my face now because I've got my card up to date.
Yeah.
My license in my car. I'm so full of myself.
I've ridiculous. Been doing that admin. I don't even want to go into it because no one will care, but it's been hard. I'll just say it's been hard, and I haven't yet succeeded.
I'm always interested in this, and we never look at, because in our parliament it's anonymous, but I'd love to know who votes for what, wouldn't you? These are our representatives. We've put them in Parliament. But apparently there were 174 votes in favor of ARTO, 11 against, and 22 abstentions. So I want to know who those 11 are who voted against the ARTO Act, because they might actually be the kind of people I'd like to vote for.
Yeah, they're thinking like...
They're like, nah.
Yeah, we don't want this.
This is not practical.
Look, corruption and bullshit aside, like Ben pointed out with the taxis and whatever, like that element aside, people do drive badly.
Oh, yes.
Drunk driving should just be not tolerated. It should be considered like, hey, I'm not going to go out raping tonight. I'm also not going to go out drunk driving. Yeah. Or, you know, should we go and beat up old people? Nah. Like, yeah, you don't ever.
But you also don't need to have legislation to make it clear that those are bad things. If you were raised by wolves, you may well need to have those things written down and read to you.
But the consequences need to be so dire that no one will do it. Like, that is not a joke.
You're quite an authoritarian, especially when it comes to beating up old people.
Lost a lot of friends to drunk driving, either because of their own drunk driving or because of the drunk driving of others. And it's just, you like running around juggling a chainsaw in a crowded shopping center if you drunk drive.
Yes. Okay, well, that's a very ugly metaphor, but let's take it. Public Safety MEC for Gauteng has confirmed that about 100 shacks were razed to the ground during Tuesday afternoon's Alexandra fire. Jesus, I didn't even know about this until I read the story, but that's a lot of people who are suddenly out of home.
Yeah.
100 shacks. And 100 shacks don't just have 100 people in them. He said the important thing was to get these people shelter. We have moved the affected residents to our facility in Marlborough. They are investigating what caused a pylon to cave in, because a city power pylon collapsed after bringing live overhead cables down with it. Can you imagine? Now, we often will talk about how people start fires, and because the shacks are built so close together, they all get consumed in a blaze and the fire spreads very easily. But if this is the city that hasn't made sure that a pylon is put in place and all the rules are followed and it's not safely installed, and that pylon then collapses with very, very powerful electric cables attached to it. I mean, this is something that would devastate a community and could electrocute people, start the fire, all kinds of other horrible things. They've got to look into it and investigate. Sounds very suspicious. Not good. You remember the Dross rapist?
Yes.
Nicholas
Nino is his name. A trial date has been set for him. He's accused of raping a young girl in the bathroom of the Silverton Dross restaurant in September last year. The trial will take place from the 9th until the 20th of September. It's a long way away.
Yeah. Yes, this is quite a story.
They've got to prepare.
It's the backlog that they've got in court as well. So that just shows you how busy the role is. Earlier this year, he underwent 30 days of psychiatric evaluation at the Vescorpis Hospital, where he was evaluated by three psychiatrists and a psychologist, and has been declared fit to stand trial. So he's not mad, which disturbs people who I think wanted him to be mad, because that would have explained why someone would do this to a child.
And what defines mad if that doesn't?
Well, you don't have any.
You have the ability to know what you're doing is wrong, and you have the ability
to feel remorse. You have no comprehension of right and wrong. You have no comprehension of the effect of your own actions. But clearly, there's something not great in this guy's head for you to go into a restaurant to predate upon some child, take them into the bathroom as he did. And I mean, the fact that all of this is captured on camera, people are outraged.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he would survive if he went to jail, and I don't care really, but at the same time, I do want to try to get my head, like I do around serial killers, get my head around why people just get so completely outside of the norm.
He must survive, but barely all the time.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's his definition of normal. That's why I'm not being pessimistic or negative, but I'm not really surprised anymore at these things happening. It's like, well, in his mind, it seemed normal, and he was doing that, and I'm not condoning it at all, but let's see what the justice system says in a couple of months.
Just the last thing for the five things, and we'll get to sport. The EFF have accused Parliament of rejecting the late struggle stalwart Winnie Madikizela Mandela. Party leader Julius Malema brought a motion calling on Parliament to throw its weight behind renaming Cape Town Airport after her. I mean, this is all just such opportunism. The EFF, they're doing this because they know that Winnie was a popular woman, and this is a way for them to seem that they're doing popular things. But actually, we know that the EFF have stopped thinking about Winnie the moment she went into the ground, and they'll use her from time to time and dig her up as they require.
Yep.
And the fact that they believe that they are now the custodians of the memory of Winnie Madikizela Mandela is ridiculous. She was an ANC stalwart from beginning to end. She would never have voted for or supported the EFF, despite what she said towards the end of her life. Because at the end of her life, she was also struggling for relevance. But during it, you can without doubt say that this was a woman who was through and through an ANC member. She fought, she sacrificed, she struggled, she gave up her life in some ways for what went on in the ANC. And for the EFF to imagine in their wildest dreams that they can co-opt Winnie into their movement is pie in the sky, like everything else about the EFF. It's living in cloud cuckoo land, utopia they've made up. So give it up, guys. It's not going to happen. And you know what? I don't want Cape Town Airport named after any politicians. How about that?
I loved it when they put it out to a public opinion poll and they wanted to name it Joseph Masepa's Airport.
Joe Masepa's. Yeah, great.
The best thing in the world. Joe Masepa's International Airport.
Time for Ben. Let's see what's going on in the world of sport. Ben, what do you have for us today?
Well, Real Madrid are out of the Champions League. Rassi Erasmus is kind of considering who should succeed him as the Bock coach, and Tiger's got a sore neck. For so long, Real Madrid were like the everything. with Cristiano Ronaldo. They were winning Champions League titles. They were just doing everything. And now, not so much. Ronaldo left for Juventus. And with that, what are they anymore? Anybody, what are they anymore? Well, I'll tell you what. The guys that get dicked 4-1 by Ajax at home. 4-1. Jeez, these guys, Ajax thought they were tripping. They didn't even know where they were, because they've never beaten someone like this so big away from home, let alone Real Madrid. So 5-3, they go through in the round of 16 after losing, of course, their first match. 5-3, how about that, huh? Biggest moment of these guys' lives. Pretty much the end of an era for Real Madrid is what you'll hear all day today, and it's kind of true. But you always thought, like, Real Madrid, with all their money, all their resources, all their everythings, that they would never have, like, sure, they would have good seasons and then great seasons, but they would always be there, thereabouts. But it looks like they really have lost their shape, they've lost their structure. Of course, Sergio Ramos is a giant dickbag, and a lot of karma, I think, has come back, seeing as he is probably the reason for why they are falling now, because that guy has just been a giant, as Gorgeous said, it's the name of the airport, for about 6-7 years now. So it's going to come back and haunt you. Yeah. Spurs, well, they're also through. They beat Borussia Dortmund 1-0 away for an aggregate of 4-0. Today in the Champions League, you get to see FC Porto hosting Roma. Currently, the aggregate in that one is 2-1 in favor of Roma. It'll be 9 o'clock South African time. Or is it, the clock's changed? Oh, I never know with these European times. I'm going to go with 10. Go 10. Catch second half at worst. Paris Saint-Germain will be hosting Man United. And, well, Man United are hoping for a dream, really. Kind of like when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer destroyed that mythical ring in New Zealand, that he's going to try for something equally as heroic here. So that's 2-0 Paris Saint-Germain currently lead. And, of course, that was 2-0 that was done without some of the big stars. So I'm going to go with very little hope there.
United now have even less of their bigger name players because of lots of injuries and stuff.
Exactly, Gord. Yeah, well done.
It's a question of how many fingers can we prevent from going in.
Yes, that's actually a very good... Yeah, there it is. So by tomorrow, if you wake up in the morning to see a fist, then you know exactly where Gord's gone, and then United are out of the Champions League. Interesting night in the ABSA Premiership here in South Africa, which was obviously far less profile. But Orlando Pirates, they've gone top of the log now because they drew with Bloom Celtic.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, thinking, obviously, when you draw, it's not the greatest thing, but that's because Cape Town City beat Mamelodi Sundowns 2-1. So if you do look at the log, Pirates are on top on goal difference, and Sundowns one game in hand, both on 40 points, and then Cape Town City on 39 points, and Wits running up the top four on 38. Tiger Woods has a stiff neck. You can draw a Viagra joke in there if you want, but essentially he's just got a bit of a neck strain, which he's been dealing with for the last couple of weeks, so therefore he can't play in the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Oh no.
Very emotional event this on the PGA Tour, of course, because Arnold Palmer is dead.
He was a pretty important guy in the world of golf, wasn't he?
Yes,
then?
Gareth. He was a hugely important guy who gave back, and he was heavily involved, and he was the player that everyone really, really loved. I mean, it's just, Arnold was the rock star of golf. He might not have been as good as Gary and Jack, but he just had that way about him. I think he womanized more than both as well, because he had natural charisma and flair. He had a drink named after him. He was just always known as like the really cool guy. You know, he's a bit more debonair than the rest, and his legacy remains. So you'll see that all over the weekend.
Right.
On to rugby. Rusty Erasmus is considering who should be taking over as BOC coach from 2020. Although he does have a 75,000-year contract with SARU, he is essentially more focused on eternity.
How many? Eternity years, sure.
Basically, he'll be the last human being on Earth, and he'll still be in charge of it.
He's like, he's like the, who's the bad guy from Infinity War?
Oh, Thanos.
Thanos. He's like the Thanos of rugby.
Yeah, Rusty Thanos.
He's
got all the
gems in his infinity glove.
And his methods might not be pretty, but he means the best for the best. Well.
But he does. He does mean the best for the box, because he's already looking at restructuring the contracts. He's restructuring a whole way of doing things. He wants less people contracted as professional rugby players, therefore there'll be less coaches contracted. He wants to really batten it down and make this thing a professional business, which is what I've always appreciated about Rusty. I know people always have their sort of shade that they want to throw on people in public situations. I think he's good. And the fact that he's already thinking about dismantling his current portfolio, so he doesn't want to be coach, he just wants to be in charge of the running of BOC rugby. That's a really good thing. But who could possibly take over after the 2019 Rugby World Cup? Yeah, exactly. It's tough, isn't it? I mean, people are saying that maybe Swaystil Brein could be a guy in the running, Jacques Nienaber.
I'm sorry, what's that guy's name?
Swayze de Brein.
Swayze de Brein. That's a cool name. Yeah. Swayze.
Or Dion Davids, who's had some success with some pretty shitty teams. So that's all in the pipeline. And obviously, Rassi will not divulge anything further about who he's thinking of, because that would just be silly and just make for salacious, gossipy headlines.
Ugh,
Craven Week, where the country's young talent goes out and shows how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially Western Province wins. Well, that's no longer got a sponsor. Coca-Cola has been involved in youth rugby in South Africa since 1984. But them and Saru they just parted ways.
Yeah, so I think it's getting harder and harder for these sports teams to attract the kind of sponsors that they used to, right?
Exactly, but what a fantastic platform. So Saru has said no worries, they're going to line up another sponsor, but 2018-19's tournament will go ahead like nothing's changed. So just carry on. It just won't be the Coca-Cola Craven Week. It'll just be, I don't know, Craven Week or whatever. So that will take place from the 1st to the 6th of July at Grey College. Now, if Grey College has basically played their first team, they probably wouldn't Craven Week each year. But of course, that's not how rugby works. Yeah, work hard in your own time. There was something more interesting about rugby. Oh, no. Take it back. There really wasn't. Today, if you're in the Centurion area and you don't really like your job, or you haven't got much on the go, well, how about just a bit of ODI cricket?
Oh.
1 o'clock start. Get your camping chair out and have a few beers, as Sri Lanka will now be looking to avenge their wondrous defeat to SA. I'm going to go with very little chance, because I'm always naturally one-eyed when it comes to Proteas, and then ultimately I end up in a fetal position crying when they just disappoint me. But they played bloody well at the Wanderers, and I think this is becoming crunch time now for the ODI selectors. Who is SA's best team to go to the World Cup? May 31st, SA versus England, the first match of theirs for the World Cup. Time is a ticking, and these guys just need to get down who the best players are. Now, onto some basketball. Yes, you didn't see that one coming, did you? Onto some basketball. And the LA Lakers, we all know who they are. They were like icons of the 90s, and they're made famous by some big-name players. Right. But essentially, they're a very shit basketball team. I mean, they really are. They're like the Griquas of the NBA.
Good Lord.
Pretty average.
That's pretty bad.
But they got LeBron James. Everyone thought, yeah, we've got LeBron James. It's going to be amazing. Well, not really. So they've got very little chance of going to the playoffs. And many people are saying is, well, how about we just rest LeBron? Because for the last 8 years, LeBron has basically played every single day, because his team has always got to the NBA final.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that they play 785 games in a season.
Sure.
So it is very taxing on someone like LeBron, who is 34. And even though he is a superstar, it's going to get a bit jarring. So they say, well, let's put him in cotton ball for the rest of the season, regroup, get next season off. Because obviously when they finish really poorly on the NBA final log, they get the best of the draft picks from the young talent coming through.
Did they really play 785? Was that hyperbole, or did they play twice a day for a year, or is a season more than a year long?
Gord, give or take a few games here and there, essentially. Oh. So that wasn't
a real number. It was for effect.
Ben's trying to illustrate the point.
That's what I'm asking. I'm like,
which is so literal.
Which,
you're literally so literal.
Figuratively, I'm quite literal.
And essentially, you have now just ruined the momentum of the story.
I was asking a real question, because it was an eyebrow-raising statistic, and I trust you as the sports expert to bring me sport insight and knowledge that I don't get from anywhere else.
Gord, your timing is eyebrow-raising right now. You could ask me afterwards.
Sorry, I thought we were.
No, it's fine, Gord. It's Wednesday. Let's start everything for Gord.
All right, carry on. Carry on.
Jesus. Okay, boys.
It's like trying to manage cats.
But it's a very interesting kind of point where these professional teams get to. So they got LeBron. They got him for a few more years. Do they try gun for the playoffs now? Maybe burn him out eventually, because he's got a groin strain, so he's not at his best. Or do they say, right, well, let's try this year is another fuck up, just like any other year for the Lakers. Let's make next year better, because we'll have these great young talents coming in from the draft picks. So there's many sort of like conflicting ideas. Snoop Dogg, however, who is a Lakers fan through and through, well, he has a much clearer way of thinking about what he feels about this Lakers side currently.
And it's fucking terrible watching my Lakers play. Somebody gotta go. Fuck the shit. Somebody gotta go. Matter of fact, a lot of niggas gotta go. Starting with the coach. Well, this shit ain't gonna work. This is not the LA way. Ship all them niggas out. These sorry motherfuckers ain't gonna do shit. Nothing. Get LeBron some fucking help. Cause these goofballs ain't gonna do shit. They sorry. They fucking suck. I'm selling my fucking booth right now. I got a booth for the next 2 years, 3 years. This year y'all can have it. $5 for the motherfucking booth to the Laker games. $5 is the price. Anybody can have it. All the homies hit me. Blow me up right now.
So did he sell it?
I don't know. No confirmation of anyone
got
it.
This booth.
Be cool as hell if he did.
Yeah, but like when Snoop Dogg finally says, I can't watch these guys, that's how I know it. That's how bad they are. So, you know, again, like long term, people are saying, well, we've got LeBron. Let's play LeBron. Get the value for money there. But you got to think, like, what's the point? You're gonna, if you sneak your way into the playoffs, you're probably going to get Golden State straight up, who are going to give you a PK to the side of the ear. So,
right.
You know, these are the things that people got to understand in sport. And that's pretty much it. All right, for today's sports, Trump served more fast food to a football team, and they seem to like it. And that's about it.
He did that before, and it was a real hit.
That's his new thing, then.
Yeah, it's kind of becoming a White House tradition. I mean, why must you waste cutlery on just, you know, sports people?
Yeah, because they don't know how to use cutlery anyway.
Yeah.
have you ever seen rugby players after the match? They don't use cutlery.
Just
please.
As long as all the packaging is recyclable.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Catch and kill the food with their mouth and then eat it with their mouth. Occasionally, we'll put a hand on it to hold it still.
All right, said by Sia, take us away.
Oh, and drones save the day, folks. This is quite interesting. A police department has just trialed this out recently in Southern California. They've started deploying drones to respond to 911 calls. Imagine what that could be like. So listen to this. There's a city in the south of San Diego, and according to their police department there, since last week, the city's police force has been using drones to react to more than 30 different calls, and three of which have actually led to arrests. So as entertaining and dramatic as it is to imagine for a while, the drones actually aren't the ones going out and making arrests. But what actually happens is, when the police receive calls from the public, and depending on the location of the crime, one of the drones is able to fly quickly to the scene, giving incoming police officers a live bird's eye view of what's going on.
That's very clever.
Thinking about how it's saving time and making things efficient.
Also, it can tell you how many perps there are on the scene.
Everything.
Whether there's been breaking and entering.
Pretty invasive. But you know.
For now, it's in the good hands.
Yes,
good hands.
No, but good. You've called the cops. Right.
I guess.
If you call them to your
what
property,
if you're the person that's committing the crime and you don't have a say?
Like, you don't have a say because you're committing a crime.
I know the person that I'm busy committing a crime against called for drones. It's a misunderstanding. Don't send the drones.
Then the drones will help in supporting that because there's now footage.
The drones arrive with a biased context looking for...
No, they do not, Gord. Don't be so dramatic.
You know, Gord has always hated the police.
I really don't understand.
Fuck the po-po.
So in a recent domestic violence call, this is quite interesting, a drone was sent and hovered around a canyon where a man was suspected of stabbing a woman. And the footage that was broadcast to police cell phones actually enabled the police to be able to find specifically where the suspect was.
Yeah.
And they found where he was hiding in this random tent with a knife, and police were actually able to swoop in and apprehend the suspect. Another interesting case that was that happened last week, a woman was beating a man on a motorcycle. Go figure. It was a domestic dispute.
Not like racing him and winning.
Well, she was in a car and the man was in a motorcycle. It was just very weird. And this fight was carrying on as they were driving
like the
around the entire
of
city.
The babes were dumo mampincha situation.
I beat someone on a motorcycle once, but I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
God, where's this going? Where is this going?
Go on, Sia.
So as these two were driving around the city, the drone was actually able to follow them all throughout this entire incident. And lo and behold, because of this, the footage gathered by the drone is actually now going to be used in court. So the police department actually say that it provides us eyes on things we may not have an opportunity to see. And that is going to be amazing for us in law enforcement. Right now, we can arrive within 2 minutes to an emergency call and start providing real-time information to our officers.
Brilliant. Yeah.
The department eventually plans to have a total of 8 or 9 drones spread throughout the city, which will give them the capacity to respond to most emergencies within just 2 minutes, which compares favorably to their current response time of about 6.5 minutes. Yeah. I think
it's
this
is result in
a
some
real
cool
good
TV
trend.
Shows. Like, remember the helicopter police chase footage for good TV? It's
of
the
course.
Same thing, just less expensive and more practical.
Well, already police dash cams are quite interesting to watch. when you have some odd people in the mix.
This. I like this very much.
American reality TV for days.
Drone. That's your said by
drone
for
cops.
Today.
Yeah, drone time.
Watch the cops arrest people.
This drunk man fell over in the road, but he couldn't escape the eyes of our drones. Phone a drone. And you're never alone when you phone a drone.
Okay, thank you. All right. Get back to some news in a moment and some of the other stuff that you want to talk about. You know what to do. Call us on 0861-555-189, or you can message us if you like on 0797-482-090. Let's get your day off to a good start, shall we?
This is CliffCentral.com.